the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
There's nothing more romantic than fantasy. And we can make the war on terror distract them like videos and TV shows with scantily clad women. Cover them with oil, rub it in like lotion, put F-16s in the skies and battleships in the ocean. The voters won't notice. Tell them you're either with us or you're against us, and in the same breath over-vaccinate our soldiers. They'll want to believe these lies are true to the point that even Cynthia McKinney with proof won't be able to convince them that there's a connection between the war on terror and the Carlisle group. They'll need to believe these lies are true. I said over-vaccinate our soldiers and coat their ammunition with radioactive DU. Fear is the final frontier of the defenseless. If it's logical, tell them it's senseless. You're either with us or you're against us. It's all about confusion. Name it the Patriot Act if it acts against the Constitution. One man, one vote is a joke. You should be more concerned about your family going broke. Poof. Mirrors. Smoke. Nah, watch me raise spending and lower taxes. The answer to any question that the 911 commission might ask is, we believe stem cell research is immoral. North Korea has WMDs, translation, time for Operation Iraqi Freedom. Sacrifice American lives on Baghdad soil. Earn more from our investments in defense and increase our supply of oil. The question is, how come we haven't done anything about the genocide in Darfur? The answer is, we believe in protecting the sanctity of marriage. No, no child left behind. Wait, just give them a slogan. Let's roll. We're gonna smoke them out of their holes. Watch the hands, watch the hands. In this hand, Osama bin Laden. In this hand, the World Trade Center explodes. Now, I know you want me to get them for you, but the $200 billion question is, how much is it worth to you for me to allow my cronies' investments in defense to work for you? Don't worry about what we knew prior to the fact about the attack. That's a distraction. Carol Ann, look away from the oil fields. The important thing to remember is that voting for my opponent will get you killed. There's a connection between his election and your family's demise. That's why African-American voters have to be disenfranchised. Neo-democracy means that the electronic voting machine companies get to help us decide. That way you can win the election and still lose. That's the new world order. Global economy, no borders, no sovereignty. Widow's cries, corporate plutocracy. True lies.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
We're playing a pattern, and here's the pattern. Civilization is a living organism, an animal. And by its definition, it's going to evolve in the same characteristic way that animals evolved. So there's a part we went from, let's say, fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals. The fish phase was when human civilization, earliest phase, mariculture. They lived at the sea. They had to live at the water. They couldn't live without water. They were stuck to wherever the water was. Agriculture was the amphibian phase. Why? They took the water with them on the land so they could go deep into the land, penetrate in the land, get the water, grow all the stuff, and live because you needed the water. Okay? The reptile stage... reptiles are the only animals that were first designed for land. They're almost like machines. They're almost mechanical. Like when you see a lizard, like it's almost digital the way it moves. The reptiles were the equivalent of the industrial age. That's when we became reptilian. And it's interesting because we're still in that age. And guess what? We're fueling this civilization with what they call the blood of the dinosaur. We're fueling it with oil, which is the character of that reptilian phase. And so we're living a reptilian phase of civilization. The lizards were like mom and pop shops, but they grew into dinosaurs, which were corporations. And the corporations evolved. And then here comes the cool part. The bird phase of human civilization started in 1903 when Wilbur and Orville Wright started to fly. It changed the whole world because now you can fly around in a few hours. It changed. The world was so massive at one point nobody could imagine it. Now we can fly around it and put a satellite around it. And I say, so the birds evolved from 1903, but guess what? They reached their fullest evolution in 1969. 1969, the birds landed on the moon, and they took a picture of the Earth. And those hippies back then saw this picture and created Earth Day within a month or two of the picture coming back, number one. Number two, they said, oh man, look at that. We got to take care of that. That's all we have. Got to take care of the water, the air, take care of the kids and all that. Taking care is the character called nurturing. Nurturing is the character of mammals. So in 1969, the mammalian phase of human civilization was seeded with the hippies looking and saying, oh my God, take care of each other, take care of the planet, we generation. That's what it was all about. But then go back in history and recognize when the mammals first evolved, the dinosaurs were still here too. And the dinosaurs were, you know, the big, big killer things, and the mammals were the little meek, furry guys, right? And the fact is, they talk about the meek taking over the earth. Well, we're in that transition. The dinosaur is falling.
Before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, and we will be, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Psychology has a word that is probably used more than any other word in psychology. It is the word maladjusted. It is the ringing cry of modern child psychology, maladjusted. Now, of course, we all want to live the well-adjusted life in order to avoid neurotic and schizophrenic personalities. But as I move toward my conclusion, I would like to say to you today, in a very honest manner, that there are some things in our society and some things in our world for which I'm proud to be maladjusted. And I call upon all men of goodwill to be maladjusted to these things until the good society is realized. I must honestly say to you that I never intend to adjust myself to racial segregation and discrimination. I never intend to adjust myself to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few and leave millions of God's children smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
understand what I'm talking about? What is our common bond truly? Freedom. Freedom. Without freedom, you can't be a Christian no matter what denomination you belong to. You can't be a Buddhist. You can't own a donut shop. You can't drive from here to Oregon. You can't be an American, because that's what it's all about, and that's the only thing that it's all about. Nothing else. Nothing else. It's about freedom. Freedom. Only freedom. It means you have to let other people be free, even if they disagree with you. I had a tremendous admiration for the courage of those two communists who had the guts to walk up with their little communist sign and their communist flag. Two of them, young people, all alone, in that sea of America, militia, uniformed patriots. And I saw people who wanted to kill them. You know, I don't like their philosophy. They're misled, misguided. Communism is a terrible thing. But they had guts. And I had a great respect for them. And I believe in freedom. Which means there is no way in the world that we could have had that meeting on your state house grounds this morning unless they had the right to do what they did. And you had better understand that. Because if you stop them from having their freedom to make their political statement, you have stopped yourself. You have stopped everyone. And that must never happen in this country. It must never happen in this country. Because if it does, there'll never be another congregation like this, and you'll never hear me speak again, because I'll be dead. And so will most of you. This country's about freedom. Because only with freedom can you have all of the other things that everybody professes that they want. It's the only way it can be done. I hear all kinds of misconceptions and misstatements. I have the freedom of the press. No, you don't. No, you don't. The man who owns the press has the freedom of the press. And he can say in his press whatever he wants, but you can't. That's why I get angry with Americans when they say, the Jews control the press. Who sold it to them? How'd they get it? You want the press? Start a press. You want to be on the radio? Do it. But stop whining. Stop bitching. Stop complaining. That guy that owns the press, that's his press. He can do with it what he wants. Just like you do with your car what you want because it's your property. He doesn't owe you anything unless you've got a contract with his signature on it that says he will print what you say. If you can't produce that, he doesn't owe you anything. That's America. You know what's wonderful about America? You can have a press. I have a press. How many of you have seen my newspaper? That newspaper's no joke. It makes congressmen cringe when they see it. It scares the hell out of the enemy. You too can have a radio show. I'm going to teach you how just here in just a couple of minutes. You too can publish books like this. I did it. The Harvest Trust is the trust for my children. I'm not rich. I don't have anything. You know how I financed this book? I sold copies before it was printed to people who believed enough in me to buy them. I don't have any money. I have my family. And that's all the wealth I ever need. I don't make any money from my radio show. Veritas has operated in the red from the beginning. and probably always will. But I got something that you don't have. I have a free press. It's mine. And I get to say what I want. And I get to publish what I want and print what I want because it's mine. And I'm free. And it's my free press.
Find yourself in this utterly crazy place, this war on terror. Let's understand why. It's by design. In fact, you know something, if you're really symbolically literate, whenever this term war on terror, which I might add is a psychological term, it's not saying terrorism, which is political, or terrorists. It says war on terror. Now, terror is a psychological term. It's an inner state. Cold war, nuclear war, atomic war. Think about what those words really mean. They've got very little to do with external things. Atomic war, genetic war, cold war, now war on terror. And you know how the right brain hears it? It's not war on terror, but war on terra. T-E-R-R-A. War on earth. Because it is a war on earth.
Hijackers were instruments of evil who died in vain. Behind them is a cult of evil which seeks to harm the innocent and thrives on human suffering. Theirs is the worst kind of cruelty, the cruelty that is fed, not weakened, by tears. Theirs is the worst kind of violence. Pure malice while daring to claim the authority of God. We cannot fully understand the designs and power of evil. It is enough to know that evil, like goodness, exists. And in the terrorist, evil has found a willing servant. Evil has found a willing servant.
Evil has found a willing servant.
And remember, you don't call in a gardener when you want your car engine fixed. If you want the right answers to questions, you have to go to the right teachers and the right answers, and you have to ask the right questions as well. And because people have been leaving consciousness at the door, they haven't studied it correctly, they therefore do not have the manual to fix the problems that are. We know that there are these problems. But if you keep going to the false teachers or the wrong teachers and the wrong teachings, in my opinion, you know, don't expect things to ever change. It's as simple as that. The secrets of all that's happening in the external world, and I mean all of it, everything that happens in society, and you don't need to be Wilhelm Reich to work this out, that consciousness affects matter and consciousness affects society. Hitlers and people like that are voted in. All forms of tyranny are a manifestation of what's going on in the temperament of the human psyche. And, you know, I'm not the first to have said this, but certainly within the conspiracy movement, we need to revamp this idea and get around this instead of stop pointing fingers. And also, what do I mean by pointing fingers? I mean, stop dilly-dallying in the political game. In other words, fighting this giant, fighting this Goliath with the weapons that the Goliath has provided for you, namely the political arena, in which you may have a certain amount of topical, you know, developments and a bit of progress, but it's completely useless. It doesn't bring down, you know, the establishments of control. It doesn't affect the major architecture of control. They've handed us the weaponry, so-called, to fight them.
Humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated. The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me?
Resistance is not futile. We're going to win this thing.
Humankind is too good. We're not a bunch of underachievers. We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
Soda? Want some more grape soda? We're enjoying some nice grape soda. What do you mean we can have Twinkies after dinner? Twinkies? I've only seen them at the stores. I touched a Twinkie one time. Never had one, though. We get to eat them? Or what's in a Twinkie? Twinkies will last for 100 years. 100 years, a Twinkie will last forever. What's in that? I don't know. I don't know. Not a clue. Try to make a Twinkie at your house. Good luck. Good luck. You can make something similar, but it's not going to be anything like, taste like, look like, you know, whatever. Twinkie. God knows what a Twinkie is. What do you need? How many smokestacks, polluted aquifers, you know, sewage into a river? How much sewage do you have to pour into a river to make one Twinkie? I don't know. But that's the spiritual inverse of how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop. Spiritual inverse. And just as real. But we do live in that scientific dictatorship. And think about the scientific dictatorship of September 11th, 2001. Because, you know, there's really two avenues of thought if you want to figure out what actually happened on September 11th. And those two avenues are very simple. One is, how does a building like that fall down? How do three buildings like that fall down? And, you know, subsequently, how do you fly a plane into the Pentagon? And, you know, subsequently to that, where did that plane in Pennsylvania go? But nevertheless, and then the other side is, well, how did this all happen anyway? How did four planes hijack, compromise a $1 trillion defense infrastructure? Four separate incidents. How did that happen in one day in the course of hours? A $1 trillion defense infrastructure. And nobody got a rebate. Nobody got fired. Everyone got promoted. I mean, come on. Think about that. Everyone got promoted. Really? From Condoleezza to Richard Myers, everybody got promoted. I mean, yeah. Inside out job. So, there's many different ways to look at it. I mean, just how did all those Al-Qaedas get in here and be allowed to stay here and cause so many problems? And how is it that, you know, Larry Silverstein and the Bush family, you know, to a lesser degree than Larry. I mean, Larry made billions of dollars off the World Trade Center collapse. You know, why was... I mean, so there's two different avenues. The physically impossible nature of how those buildings fell. I know that it only makes sense that, you know, a kerosene fire could cause steel to melt. I mean, I know that just seems logical. You know, doesn't it seem like you could drop a steel beam into, you know, a bucket of kerosene and light it on fire and it would explode or whatever, however that would go about. And it would still, it might be burnt up a little bit, but it would only be surface. You just scrub it right off with some steel wool or something. I mean, come on. Structural steel, kerosene, seems like you just splash it on there all day and light it on fire. Wouldn't do anything to it. Nothing. Seems like it would do nothing. But nevertheless, the physical impossibilities, and that's also part of the scientific dictatorship, is that you have an event like September 11th happened, and you control the narrative completely, and not only do that, but you do it scientifically, where the only people who are taken legitimately are the ones that see it through the same, you know, natural, physical, scientific way that you are purporting it to have happened. You know, the actual theory of the physical, scientific nature of how that building fell down is something that you also control. Excuse me. That is also scientific dictatorship, and it's really that easy. It's not hard to figure out at all. Controlling the science of 9/11. I mean, all of it for the scientific dictatorship. Thank you.
So there's a lot of tension in society between the great exploring soul and the assembly line citizen. The citizen is defined by obligation and by the boundaries that define, you know, the next citizen, either because it's neighbor or worker or employer or something like that. And the grand exploring soul is marginalized as an eccentric, or if necessary, more seriously marginalized as mad in some way. I mean, madness basically, up until the level of physical violence, means you are behaving in a way which makes me feel uncomfortable. Therefore, there's something wrong with you. Approximately 500 years, the great era of the triumph of modern science, materialism has had the field all to itself. And its argument for its preeminence was the beautiful toys that it could create. Aircraft, railroads, global economies, television, spacecraft. But that is a fool's argument for truth. I mean, that's, after all, how a medicine show operates, you know. The juggler is so good, the medicine must be even better. This is not an entirely rational way to proceed. And now, at the end of 500 years of the practice of rational, quote-unquote, scientific culture, we're literally at the end of our rope.
To be done is that fundamental ontological conceptions about reality have to be remade. We need a new language, and in order to have a new language, we must have a new reality. It's almost a kind of Ouroboric equation or a bootstrap situation. A new reality will generate a new language. A new language will fix a new reality and make it part of this reality.
starring the mad prophet of the airways, Howard Beale.
George Ruddy dies today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what ish will be peddled for truth on this network? So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any fish you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
This question, you know, is there cause for optimism? The answer is it depends on where you placed your bets. If you placed your bets on male-dominated institutions based on consumer fetishism, propaganda, classism, and materialism, then God help you, you should call your broker. If, on the other hand, you've recognized that what is really important is empowering personal experience, backing off from consumer object fetishism, freeing the mind, empowering the imagination, then in that case, I think you can feel pretty good about what is going on.
lighten up the mood a little bit. What do you say?
So come on, have cats in the house. Shake your feet and separate out. Move together. So come on, have cats, move together. Now she's the queen of Star State, the girl got high energy. Sally, she's jumping up, making all the cats in the barroom stop. She's jumping, leaning, hopping, her prances are popping. Look at her style and grace when she keeps at pace.
My mom worked full time. My dad was a stay away from home father. Wasn't around too often. I had one of those stepdads. I hated him. Oh man, I hated him. And it's like, I understand that a lot of kids don't like their own stepdads. And I didn't disrespect him because he was my stepdad. I disrespected him because I'm not gonna let a man named Shelby tell me what to do.
So come on, have cats in the house. Shake your feet and separate out. Move together. So come on, have cats, move together. So come on, have cats in the house. Shake your feet and separate out.
Born a Jedi, but my lightsaber was powered by generic batteries. It's like I got a lightsaber on Christmas morning, and for whatever reason, even though they knew it needed to have batteries, they still had to get mad at me and go to 7-Eleven.
Guys, I didn't go to college, and when I graduated high school, I applied for a job as an assistant. When I got to the interview, the guy was like, "So you're gonna be making coffee? Do you have a college degree?" I was like, "No." He was like, "Our coffee maker's really complicated."
So come on, have cats in the house. Shake your feet and separate out. Move together, feel the treat. Now beat me, daddy. We need heat.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
I talk about GMOs, genetically modified food. They made giant red tomatoes as big as my hand, giant watermelons with no seeds. They have cattle with the beef and the fat perfectly balanced for the superior deliciousness. But I think they've gone too far with these boneless chickens. That's fucked up.
Hi, what can I get for you?
Can I get a number 8 with large chili cheese tater tots?
And what kind of drink?
Can I get a mellow yellow with that, please?
Did you want that large?
Yes, large is good. Are you ready for the next part? Cause it seems like you're
not. What can I get for you?
2 number 4s.
Medium or large?
Medium.
And would you like fries, tots, or onion rings?
Cheese tots, please, please.
What would you like to drink?
Cherry limeade.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Cherry limeade, please.
Okay, what else can I get for you?
A large Frito chili pie and another cherry limeade. A large one.
Okay, what else can I get for you?
The last thing is gonna be.
I'm sorry?
5-piece cheesecake bites.
What else can I get for you?
That'll be all.
Okay, so I have the number 8 combo, the full on 20 with chili cheese tops and a mellow yellow. 2 number 4 combos, both with tater tots and both with cherry limeade. I have a large chili pie, large cherry limeade, and 5-piece cheesecake bites. Is that correct?
Do you have cheese on those number 4 tater tots?
No, I do not. Would you like me to put them both on cheese tops?
Please, please put cheese on them for me tonight. And I will be so grateful to you.
Okay, I did that for you. Your total is $34.82. Is there anything else I can get for you?
Just have a wonderful night.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you.
Now, go find the others.com.
I saved a man's life today. He was choking. I took my hands off his throat. I looked at him dead in the eye and I told him, don't make me save your life again.